Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. Now, you guys have heard me talk about these sheets before. Guys, they're sheets. They have self-cooling properties for better quality sleep. And they were inspired by NASA. So they have all these like fancy thermoregulating qualities because they're all technology and stuff. And honestly, like, I feel like I spent so much of my life just buying the crappiest sheets. And when you find sheets that feel delightful, that's something you hang on to. You know what I mean? You just hang on to that. I mentioned they're self-cooling. They're also self-cleaning. They prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them staying cleaner and fresher 3 times longer than the average sheets. I can totally attest to that. Like I said, they're super comfortable. They feel luxurious, like nicer than sheets they use in 5-star hotels. For real. They're designed for your skin. And because of the bacteria thing, it doesn't cause breakouts and stuff, which is like actually a big issue for my husband. His face is very sensitive to that. And I'll tell you, these pillowcases have been doing wonders on his face. So go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to get Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use the promo code FAKETHENATION at checkout, then you'll receive 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. It's an incredible deal. And Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. So upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation. Treat yourself, and thanks so much to Miracle Made for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 241.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we take the French bread of America. That's right, America has French bread. Go with me. We add some butter and garlic salt. We put it in the toaster oven of democracy for like 5 minutes. Then we bite into the goodness that is American politics in the form of garlic bread. It doesn't matter. And it's in a stabler Biden administration, so hooray. Today, we're going to talk about the ongoing cabinet nominations. We'll talk about Rush Limbaugh and what he meant to the conservative movement. And finally, Disney fired one of its actors. We discussed the scandal that has moderately rocked Twitter. Today, oh my God, today's panel. Folks, this is such a fantastic panel. This first gentleman, we were trying to piece together the timeline, but he may have been one of the very last panelists in studio at the Earwolf Studios before the fuckball pandemic. He has a special streaming on Amazon right now. It's called January 3rd. You should absolutely be watching it and listening to it at both at the same time. Do both of those things. He's so funny. He's so great. And we're so glad he's back. He's a comedian, TJ. Hey, TJ.
Hey, Negan. Thank you for having me. What a lovely introduction. And yes, you should watch and listen both at the exact same time.
Although I do want to say for listeners who are into lip reading that they could just watch if that's, you know what I mean? If lip reading is their thing, I don't want to take that away from anybody.
Fair enough.
Also joining us, veteran of the show. Oh my God. One of the things that I've missed about this pandemic again is seeing my friends who are comedians perform. Yeah. We were just talking about jokes of Vicky's that we remember. She has a whole series on dogs, which I think about probably once a month. Oh. TJ, what was the joke of hers that you remembered before I announced this person?
You cannot spell happiness without penis.
And for amazing material like that, you should be downloading her album immediately. It's called My Love's a Joke. It features a bunch of couples who are comedians, which is an album that is available right now from the wonderful comedian Vicky Cooperman. Hey, Vicky.
Hi, Nagin. I'm so happy to be here. I was just thinking, I also miss seeing comedians perform, and we're performing tonight on a show together.
Oh my God, we are. And sadly, this is going to drop tomorrow.
Okay, we performed yesterday.
We performed last night too.
Such raucous. Where were you guys? Where are you going to be tonight?
It's the Broad Squad.
It was last night, and we did
a fantastic job.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, the whole stadium's in shambles, actually.
because nobody is in it, and it's a pandemic. All right, let's move into topic number one. This week, Neera Tanden's nomination to lead the Office of Management and Budget was almost defeated at the hands of a Democrat. It may still be defeated, I don't know, at the time of this taping, which is Wednesday afternoon. We don't know the status. Some people are worried that some of Biden's nominations are being stymied on purpose. Some are saying that there's unfair treatment targeting women and people of color. I don't know if any of this is true, but let's first talk about Neera Tanden. My question for you both is, why is her nomination facing such difficulties?
Well, I actually have some theories. So I don't know about you guys, but since January 20th and since January 7th, when I haven't heard, am I allowed to swear here and say the F word?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay.
And especially since January 7th, when I haven't heard fuckwad's tweets or read them or whatever, I've been like asleep at the wheel. I'm kind of coming out of this haze of the past 5 years. And
yeah,
and I think maybe the White House got a little comfortable. And I think it's maybe a blessing in disguise that we can actually never, ever, ever get comfortable. So, ever. We should be thinking about 2024, 2028, 2032.
Yeah, just constant anxiety.
2040 right now. But also, one other thing is, I did read, too, at the hands of a Democrat. So, eventually, I hope we don't just vote with our party. I think it's okay that a Democrat went against a Democrat.
I also think that's okay.
We can't afford it. Yeah.
I mean, although I will say that Democrat is Joe Manchin, and Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona have just this outsized influence now because they're the moderate Democrats. And so everything is sort of tailored to whether or not they like it, which is ridiculous.
Yes.
I don't think it's how the framers intended democracy to be working out. You know what I mean? But the one of the main things that they're talking about with Neera Tanden's so by the way, Neera Tanden is a woman of color. She would be the first person of South Asian descent to head up the Office of Management and Budget. And she was really known for, besides being, I think, excellent at her, in the work that she does, she also kind of attacked people on both sides of the aisle through her Twitter feed. TJ, Joe Manchin cited her tweets as one of the reasons. Do you think that makes sense?
It's classic political theater. It's complete bullshit. Because I went, just to make sure, I went and looked at her tweets, the tweets that people were like, oh, that's an attack.
Did it make you clutch your pearls?
If Trump tweeted what she tweeted, people would be like, oh my God, Trump is finally president. That's exactly what people would say. That's how very basic her tweets were. She would just say things that were right. And then she wasn't calling people names, using racial slurs and stuff. It's just the game. The game is you bring your guy and we're going to do everything to block your guy. And when we bring our guy and we're going to do the same thing, it's kind of stupid. It's really dumb.
It seems I guess after 5 years of being terrorized by mean tweets that are also incite, not just mean, they incited violence, right? For years. It seems like citing her tweets, which were, I think, at the end of the day, just very critical of people in their professional capacities, right? They were sort of I wouldn't say no holds barred because it's not like she was walking around, you said, using racial epithets. That's not her thing. They were holds barred.
A lot of holds.
Tweets that were nevertheless critical of people and their policy decisions.
I think that's
right?
what it was. She called someone criminally ignorant. To me, that's just what you call someone who's being a dumbass. There's nothing there that's oh my God, that's too much for a politician to say.
Right. I mean, especially now.
if it wasn't really criminally ignorant, it's a little dramatic. But again, like you said, theater, Twitter is theater.
Exactly. You got to be dramatic over there. You got to be.
Yeah. And this is, you know, and it's interesting because this, you know, a very close makeup to this exact Senate voted to put Brett Kavanaugh in the Supreme Court. And he had a moment, and I forgot about this until today, where he was like, "Do you drink?" or whatever. Remember when he asked that question?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a Klobuchar, which is like, what? Dude, who's like being confirmed right now? Like, you're not supposed to be asking questions like that in that crazy. So it's like, we have seen lots of decorum erode, you know?
Yes. Yes.
And,
or get exposed. Because I feel like men talk to women like that a lot.
Right,
And the sad thing is he had no problem talking to her as he was being questioned in a public stage. Like, he doesn't even understand that it's not...
That's not appropriate.
Right.
Yes. But I loved her. She was like, yeah, I'm familiar with it. My dad died of alcoholism.
Right. Yeah, she was unflappable. But, I want to point out that so what some point people are pointing to is that they confirmed Richard Grenell, who was, like an acid tongue Trump booster to the post of ambassador to Germany.
Oh, my God. Of course. Sorry. It has to be Germany. Sorry, just have to point that out.
Yeah.
It's not like they haven't confirmed people who haven't lobbed personal attacks before, right? Like this Richard Grenell did. And so there's also Javier Becerra, who's, I'm probably butchering his name, who's the California Attorney General and who's the pick for Health and Human Services Department. Now, they don't want to, there's trouble with his nomination because of his views on expanding health care and abortion access for unauthorized immigrants, which I'm just sort of like, I mean, the thing is, people are going to have views, right? Mm-hmm. But they're also going to have the president's mandate, which is to say, I personally don't think there's a problem with expanding healthcare. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm rather liberal.
Oh, you want healthcare?
I know. Is it weird? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come out like this. I thought you should both know.
Quickly, on the Nira subject, because I feel
please.
Like it is... It's political game. That's just what it is. And I'm not sure how much of it has to do with her being a woman or her being South Asian. I think it doesn't matter who it was. They would do the same thing. Do you guys feel the same way?
Well, TJ, I actually thought America can only handle one South Asian at a time.
we unfortunately let one
get to a really high position, which is
right.
terrible.
So it's
for
like the
men.
Door
is
closed.
Just terrible.
The quota has been met for the next 10 years.
Really, we just had to close the door behind Kamala Harris. Right. That's really how the country works. But no, I mean, I think, TJ, you're asking an excellent question. Like, is it just because of, you know, she's the Biden pick and Republicans are going to say no to the Biden, Republicans and Joe Manchin
right.
are going to say no to the Biden pick? Or is there something else going on, right? And I think if you it's so hard to say because I'm not in the business of just like accusing everybody of being racist mm-hmm. or whatever. But I do think like the point that Vicky brought up earlier.
It's a pretty good business to be under these days.
Yeah. Really
very lucrative, very lucrative.
It's a great business.
But I think Vicky's point of just like, it didn't even occur to Brett Kavanaugh that talking to a woman like that was inappropriate on the international stage.
Yeah.
I think that is some of what we see in these situations is that it doesn't occur to people that adding a level of scrutiny to Neera Tanden's tweets that they didn't add to Richard Grenell's tweets
right.
is inappropriate. It's like, it's just not parallel, right?
Yeah, there's no parody. No, it's clearly, there's some gender stuff going on, for sure.
I think there's some gender stuff going on. And then if you look at the Becerra situation, you know, one of the criticisms of him is that he is not a doctor himself and that he's being nominated for Health and Human Services. Interestingly, Donnie's health secretary was Alex Azar, who also not a doctor, but was confirmed.
Of course.
Right? So then if you want to use, like, I'm just like, I get it. If you want to use that as an argument, use that as an argument, but just level that argument consistently over time with these different nominees. It, you know, and then we don't even have to think about if racism or misogyny is part of it. You know what I mean?
I would zoom out a little here, and this is where I'm really trying to go all the time, which is like, we have to stop in general in this country being like, well, he did it, so I'm doing it. And then we just keep doing like the elevating it, this childish behavior.
Yeah. True.
Like, I don't, to be honest, I don't know much about if she's the only or the best person for this position or post. If it's sexism and racism, it's not acceptable. If it's one guy in the Midwest, like throwing a tantrum and like derailing the whole party, also not acceptable.
But I think what's happening here with the three of us is that we're willing to concede that it may be just one guy in the wherever, being ridiculous, and that it's not like, an overall culture of misogyny and racism at play in this one case. Is that what
right. In this one case. That's what it feels like from the information I know.
Yeah.
Right.
But eventually I hope we do stop just voting the way our party goes. I hope the Republicans become a little more sane.
And so I also hope that this is what I sort of hoped, that each party would expend their energy on this stuff. Like, look, ultimately, the president needs to fill a bunch of jobs, you know?
Yeah.
Part of this is just like, it's a little bit of I sort of thought of it as a rubber stamp situation where right. you're just like, this dude has to fill a bunch of fucking jobs. This person is qualified. I don't like, you know, the color shirt he's wearing, but I can get over it, right? Like, that's,
Wouldn't that be nice? Right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't
that be nice?
Because the like, thing is, I don't know what happens in this country where it sort of almost feels like my job as a Republican is to stop you from doing whatever you want to move forward as a Democrat. And then the Democrats right. feels like my job is to stop the Republicans from doing anything. Like, there's no moment where an adult goes, you know what, maybe this has nothing to do with the party. Let's just get the job done.
Right. And the Health and Human Services Department, which is typically not a very sexy agency, right, needs a boss, and then the boss needs to hire a bunch of people, and it needs to function, right?
That's
it just
right.
needs to function. And no matter what, if you're Lindsey Graham, you're probably not going to love who Biden picks. So just right. like admit that the person is qualified and move on, which is interesting. I will say, if we want to talk about white dudes, though, appreciating other white dudes, Merrick Garland was, I would say, appreciated by very many.
He was.
You know, when he,
you know, on that topic, before you move along, I have a quick question.
Oh,
What would you say is the sexiest cabinet position?
State.
State is the sexiest one, yeah?
Yeah. And then also, there's a cabinet position that I don't think gets nearly enough attention at, and that is the BDSM secretary.
Oh,
that is a very
really
sexy.
No, there
isn't.
I was so excited.
Why would there be a BDSM secretary?
It's all BDSM. I would say the transportation department just got sexier.
Oh, hey. but it's funny because transportation secretary, I don't know, it's always been sort of like an afterthought.
Yeah.
You know, labor, I feel like it's been a little bit of an afterthought. Agriculture, all the interesting thing is they all deal with climate change now. So
right.
they're all kind of like wildly important. TJ, do you think there's a sexy department?
No.
The one that has the most access to like really small little bottles of vodka and probably nice hotel rooms is the Department of State. So
that's true.
Secretary of State is looking at
a little bit like
international.
A spy. You go to other countries and steal their secrets. That's something James Bondy about it.
Right, exactly. You drink martinis everywhere you go.
They get to go to the little bazaars and get the little trinkets from different. You know, they get to see like the unicyclists and the clowns in the Amsterdam's public square.
They get to like They get to like flick a quarter into a fountain and make a wish in every city that there's like a dumb fountain where tourists do that. And that's really what secretaries of state spend their time doing. I'm glad we pointed that out.
Yeah. Nikki and I agree with you, state.
Sexy. Well, yeah. Let's talk quickly about GHOST, the Biden administration, and the executive actions they may be taking on gun stuff. So one of the things they might be taking executive action on is GHOST guns, which are the handmade or makeshift firearms that lack serial numbers. Those guns don't require a background check. And so Biden is considering an executive action that would require a background check on that feels pretty fucking not a big deal to require a background check. What do you think?
Not a big deal. No, it shouldn't be. But okay, can we just talk about how like the Bureau, what is it, of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives? So you need ID to get alcohol.
I love how there's it's such a random collection. It should just be like the Bureau of Alcohol, Firearms, and Kale. Like they should just add additional random things to that bureau.
Also, go Explosives goes to the Secretary of BDSM, does it not? Anyway,
she's here all week, folks.
Literally all week because I have nowhere to go. So tobacco, alcohol, you need license, and explosives, you actually need a permit. So that leaves us with firearms. The question we've been asking forever, why can't you just, because you don't even need
license.
You don't even need an ID to get firearms in many states.
Why?
And as you know, Nagin, gun stuff is very personal to me because I got assaulted at gunpoint a year and a half ago walking my dog at rush hour.
Do you have a gun?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I can't. Are you kidding? In New York City, you cannot get a permit.
Oh, you can't? Okay.
No, I mean you can. It's very hard. It's very
hard. You can, but
After I was robbed at gunpoint, I wanted to get a gun. I'm not going to lie.
Right. Yeah.
Which
would have been fair.
It would have been fair, but I should not be walking around with a gun. Are you kidding? No. We've gotten to a point now where you can print 3D guns. You don't even need a serial number. Like, of course we should regulate ghost guns. I mean, there shouldn't even be ghost guns.
I know, this is crazy.
Like, I've never heard that term before. When I heard it, I was like, is this when you've been dating a gun and it stops texting you? Is that what a ghost gun is? What is this?
So my question for you, TJ, is it looks like one of the kind of like difficulties that the Biden administration is encountering is you know, how long has it been since they've been in office? Like 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Yeah,
and barely. And they have to do 7,000 things. And gun groups are like, why aren't you putting a bunch of your political will into gun stuff and doing a bunch of executive actions on guns? Biden has said like that he wants some of that stuff to be done through legislation because the pandemic is overwhelming. TJ, where do you think that they should be putting their kind of effort right now?
Well, I think people... Again, it's partisanship where I don't know if you saw this thing, I think on Fox News, and after like maybe a week after Biden was president, they legit posted 900,000 Americans have died under Biden's administration, which is like, he's been president for a week. So clearly those are Trump people that just rolled over. That's all it was. It was kind of a sick joke where, oh, you in charge now? Well, everything that is wrong is your fault. That's just what we're going to do. And let's also not forget, we're dealing with a 78-year-old man. He's going to take time. He needs people to read those things for him. The system is already
gridlocked. I mean, he's got a lot of people working
for him. He's probably got nurses in the White House. He needs a lot of help. Give the man a break. Nothing happens overnight in this country.
I do think that the... Just like the question of where do you put your political heft and where, you know what I mean? Where do you ask for the favors? Where do you like do the executive actions that are going to anger people? All of that stuff. It's such a delicate balance in normal times. Add to that a fucking blazing pandemic. You know what I mean? It's just fucking bananas.
And I think being a good president kind of means you have to be a little bit of an asshole just because you can't please everybody. You just got to go in there and be like, this is what I want to do. And a lot of people are going to be unhappy and I'm going to fucking do it. That's just my job.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, we're going to have to move on. I want to let people know before we take a quick break to hear about our sponsors, that I did a little chat about the Framing Britney documentary about Britney Spears and her court-sanctioned conservatorship. I did an Instagram live chat with the very, very wonderful Kendra Cunningham, who we all know and love. We had a really fun conversation. If you want to hear us chatting about the Britney Spears documentary, Framing Britney, you can go onto my Instagram feed and check out that chat. It is a Fake the Nation addendum. All right, so let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about topic number two. We are back and we're ready for topic number two. You guys, Rush Limbaugh died last week. Actually, the news came out as we were taping, so we didn't have a chance to talk about it last week. But I really felt compelled to talk about it this week because he's such a giant in the field, both as a conservative hero and as a liberal, just anti-hero, is being very kind. I'll just give you a couple of the reasons why people on the left, and then I think people who were like super into civility and stuff like that, dislike Rush Limbaugh. He mocked the death of gay men from AIDS in the 80s. He suggested that the Clintons – oh, this was a whole – you guys remember the Clintons – the Clinton murdered Vince Foster rumors that he started – that was, Rush Limbaugh that advanced those stuff and those rumors in the 90s. He called the NBA the Thug Basketball Association in 2004. He claimed that the college student Sandra Fluke, if you remember her, owed him a sex tape in return for taxpayer-subsidized birth control in 2012. He did an impression of former Chinese president Hu Jintao that consisted of him saying, like, Ching Chong over and over again. I mean, the hits keep giving. Oh, he even called Barack Obama the magic Negro, which makes me feel so uncomfortable just even reading. Rush Limbaugh, these are just some of the highlights, but this is the kind of rhetoric he used on a daily basis, hours a day talking on his radio show that was heard by millions and syndicated nationwide. When you heard the news of his death, my condolences to his family, because whatever it is I think of him, there are people that are really, really sad for his loss. But as a figure in American political life, what did you think of Rush Limbaugh generally?
Just first ballot Hall of Fame piece of shit figure for sure. No question. I remember I first moved here in 2008, and he was one of the first few people I would hear about, and I was like, Jesus Christ, I don't even know about American politics, but I know this guy is wrong for all the reasons you would think somebody would be wrong. So it's just, I don't celebrate people's death, but I also like, can we, like, where did the phrase "we do not speak ill of the dead" come from? What's the origin of that? We can speak ill of the living and they have ears, they can hear us, the dead can't. So why is that a problem to speak ill of the dead? They're dead. It doesn't matter.
Other thing is, like, when you're as famous as he was, you sort of abdicate any of those, like, sayings.
Exactly.
You're too famous for any of that.
Yeah, I'm sure he has children and a wife that probably love him. But other than that, he just hurt a lot of people and he kind of hurt the country. And I think he kind of has what's coming to him.
In what way, in your mind, did he hurt the country?
Well,
he
peddled a lot of beliefs that were not rooted in any real facts. He just had such a wide audience. I think he was making $38 million a year, and he was the number one syndicated radio, conservative radio show. And there were just a lot of people listening to him. So he furthered that divide where people just make up their minds about the other person without ever meeting or sitting down or listening to that other person, because Rush told them, that's what you think about these people. So that's a big problem.
I should also point out, you know, we sort of think of like Fox News as like such a, you know, the main force of the last, I don't know, 30 years. And it has been. But Rush arrived 8 years before Fox was ever on air. So he sort of like set the, you know, warmed up the crowd.
Yeah, you might be able to make the case that there wouldn't be Fox News without Rush Limbaugh. You could say that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's right. And there's certainly, you know, and the other thing is, like, I grew up in Palm Springs, California, as listeners know. And growing up, I didn't remember hearing any like talk radio on the news, like on the radio dial. Like there was maybe one or two talk radio stations or something. But over the years, as I kept going back home, it's the only place, you know, and I drive around. It's like the only place I drive. I was like, wow, there's more talk radio. Oh my God, this year there's even more talk radio. Oh my God, this year there's even more talk radio. And it's a lot, so much conservative talk radio is on the airwaves. And all of it sounds like Rush Limbaugh, right? Like he created the standard that then was replicated by everybody on radio.
Right.
So I think like just in terms of seeing that over the years, it felt very like very much like a direct trajectory from Rush. Vicky, what were your thoughts?
Well, as I was listening to you list everything, all the terrible things he said,
it felt really horrible to go through.
That's like a tenth of the list. Way more.
I know, totally. Yeah.
And he's not someone who just said random things with 8 Twitter followers. So I have like a two-pronged reaction. First of all, I felt like more of a chump that I was even at all shocked in the wee hours of November 9th, 2016, because this is where this country was going long before the election of 2016. First of all, our history obviously has always been this is where we're going. But like we thought Obama was going to give us momentum forward. And no, Obama turned out to be a great moment, a peak, hopefully not a fluke. But he wasn't like chiseling his way to a new road. This is America. And number two, Rush succeeded and is a millionaire because millions of people follow him. So like the same way I feel about Trump is about Rush. The problem is the people, just like with Hitler and the Nazis and Germany, the problem is the followers. Why are they, what is it they're missing in their lives that they're taking this stuff he's peddling? Why are they so full of fear? Because that's what fear, you know, fear is hate, right? Fear is the opposite of love. So why?
I was reading somewhere. I wish I had. I could quote this, but I think it was in a Time magazine piece that said that he appealed to a deeply politicized audience of angry white men who didn't consider themselves political, which I thought was really interesting. He basically politicized people by talking about, but there was some void about talking about other groups taking your job or whatever, talking about Sandra Fluke or, you know, whatever that void, he managed to kind of rile these people up who were otherwise not really politically involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that kind of goes to like, how is that possible? Like, what were they not getting from anywhere else? And the other, my question for you, Vicky, is like, is there an equivalent liberal, like the way Rush Limbaugh was the conservative movement? Because I think of someone like Rachel Maddow, she's a voice that a lot of people listen to, but she's not the voice. You know what I mean?
I was literally going to say Rachel Maddow, perhaps. And I don't think she's harmful, but I would say someone on the right, who's like me and can see other sides sometimes would maybe not like Rachel Maddow. I mean, a lot of people don't like Rachel Maddow, but
sure.
I think Rachel Maddow, she talks for an hour a night. She has a huge audience and she's very influential.
But I don't think she has the same pull that Rush Limbaugh does. You know what I mean? You know, after January 6th, I want to point something out. This is what he said on his radio show. He said, there's a lot of people calling for the end of violence. There's a lot of conservative social media who say that violence is or aggression at all is unacceptable. Regardless of the circumstances, I'm glad Sam Adams, Thomas Paine, the actual Tea Party guys, the men at Lexington and Concord didn't feel that way. So in some respects, he was almost condoning the violence, you know, And I mean, it just seems like he had such a, I guess the weird thing is there are so many people on the liberal front that kind of do what Rachel Maddow does.
Yeah.
There isn't, you know, it doesn't come down to one name. And obviously there's so many people on the conservative side that are doing it too, but they all seem to stem from Rush Limbaugh, which is, I think, the difference. Even Air America was a failed experiment of liberal radio.
Yeah, that's true. But when he started, he was that one person. And I feel like he started and just took his audience with him. And it's just hard to correlate him to someone today, because right now we just have so many outlets.
Yeah.
So it's a hard comparison. I think Rachel, I don't want to say Rachel is the Rush Limbaugh of the left, because she's not hateful. She really will try to go after facts, right?
Right.
And it's more like she's on the defense. Rush really had this chip on his white shoulder, white male shoulder. And I think he spoke to a lot of men and probably women, maybe a lot of their wives, who also have this chip on their shoulder that they think things are being taken away from them. But come on, I equate that to laziness. No one's taking your job if you don't want them to take your job. That's my opinion. There's a lot of jobs. I mean, maybe not right now, but there's a lot of jobs to be had when there's not a pandemic.
TJ, what is it about this like cult of personality do you think is attractive to millions and millions of people?
You know, I think, unfortunately, it has to do with human nature. People, it's like politics to me is skill is second, but at first it's really a popularity contest. And I've had this argument several times with people, and I'll probably have it with you right now because you're both women and you probably love her. I really think one of the reasons Hillary lost is not so much about her being she was overly qualified and she was extremely competent. Mm-hmm. She just did not have what it takes to be that popular kid to win a political contest. And Trump had it more for some reason. There's something about, you know, when you just have a thing that people like, oh, he speaks my language. He's got that weird charisma. He's got that thing. And Hillary was just not that person. So I don't think sexism played the role that people wanted to play. I just think she just didn't have it.
Well, I think there's a weird thing that happened with Donnie that's very similar to the weird thing that happened with Rush Limbaugh. I mean, if you look at Rush Limbaugh, the man wasn't like a sex symbol, right? He
not
wasn't like a charm machine, right? Like he wasn't like using some kind of George Clooney looks and charm, and he wasn't using like that infallible Tom Hanksian cheer. Like there was nothing about him that was like an Oprah style wisdom. Like there's none of that, right, to Rush Limbaugh. There's a fully other thing that for some reason became very popular for that one guy, and that then became popular with Trump. Trump used that same playbook of just like being
mean. And whatever
mean.
That thing is, we don't really know it. We don't have a word for it. But that thing connected with people for some reason.
And that thing connected with people, or it was so shocking to see it on a national scale that it got a lot of media attention, and the media attention in itself translated it to votes and name recognition and all the stuff that you need to win an election.
Rush was defaming the Clintons since the 90s. So, I mean, he did affect the election in the sense people really hate the Clintons.
Yeah, so, true.
They've been hated for a long time.
Yeah, she's a Clinton. She has, you know, maybe a murky past with some things. What politician doesn't, but whatever. Hers were out there like dirty laundry. And she was a woman. And when a woman isn't what you're saying, TJ, which is that you can have a beer with me. Yes, yes, I know how to do this. I'm Trump. I shoot from the hip. Then it all just falls apart.
Yes.
Right. And I mentioned even the Vince Foster that the Clintons murdered. Vince Foster. That was a rumor that was popularized, an unfounded, totally ridiculous rumor that was popularized by Rush Limbaugh. Can I say something that I really kind of wish for conservative circles, which is that like Interestingly, I feel like the thing that they refer to as entertainment, and I'm casting a broad stroke here, but like the thing that is routinely referred to as kind of like entertainment is the like Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, all this, you know, Tucker Carlson world of content, as opposed to just something that's actually just actual entertainment and fun.
Right, you know what I mean? Right. Which is a very odd thing.
I don't understand, which is a very odd thing. And I wonder, it's so like, you know, we were talking about Brian Regan before we started. He has a new special coming around. We were talking about him and, you know, he's like one of the very, you know, beloved clean comics in America. Mm-hmm. You would be hard pressed to like specifically know what party he belongs to. Like,
that's right.
Why, you know, why can't there just be conservative comedians that are like fun and provide something of entertainment that isn't specifically political? I think that's sort of what seems to be missing from the world of conservative media is like fun stuff. Like, because Rush Limbaugh, I mean, I think people turn to these things as if they're fun, but they're not fun ultimately. They kind of are agitating.
Well, to you, but I feel like a lot of conservative people love watching Tucker Carlson take apart AOC and other people. Sadly, that is theater for them.
I mean, yeah.
But you can't relate to it, Nagini.
I can't relate to it, but also
say that it's not theater, which is the weird part. Because, okay, where's the Jon Stewart or the Bill Maher on the right? Like, it would be interesting to have somebody as funny, but with that point of view. Well, why doesn't that exist? Why aren't they funny like that?
Why doesn't it exist? Because the entertainment industry is so liberal. They don't really, I mean, like, who is it? What's his name? Ben Shapiro? No.
Ben Shapiro's not a comedian. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
I'm just saying, what's the other guy? Dennis Miller. I mean, he tried to have his own
Dennis
show.
Miller
they get run out of town, guys. The conservative actors, and I know we're talking about it
later, I guess, but Tim Allen might be the one conservative.
Tim Allen. Yeah. Tim
and he'll complain. He will complain that he's
Kelsey
getting run
Grammer.
Out of town. He'll also complain. They're like, we're social pariahs, blah, blah, blah.
Right. We're going to talk about
the
in the next segment.
Generally left-leaning.
But it's weird because the art, you know, art has the possibility of being neither right-leaning nor left-leaning.
Yeah.
Like a fart joke, my folks, is a fart joke.
Right.
That's
and
right.
It doesn't matter where you are.
Please, I agree with you. It's odd to me.
Okay. Well, we are going to move folks, let me know what you think of Rush Limbaugh and his lasting impact on the Republican Party. it's been an interesting week reading these pieces about him and what he said in the past, which made me bristle almost at every turn. And also tell me, what are your ideas for just like really fun conservative entertainment? I want to know. Am I starting a conservative entertainment network? Is that what's happening right now?
Let's make a movie for Ben Shapiro.
All right, let's move on to topic number three. So it started with a hashtag, hashtag fire Gina Carano, and it ended with an actual firing of Gina Carano. For those of you who don't know, she's a character on Disney's The Mandalorian, which I maybe am like the one American who hasn't seen The Mandalorian, but she has not been shy about sharing her views on social media. And some of them are gross, like the one where she compared America's political divide to Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, what did you think of Disney's move to fire her?
It didn't surprise me. It's a corporation that's never been kind to the individual, ever, ever. I mean, I can't wait for the tell-all documentary about what happens, you know, behind the scenes at Disney World and stuff. if I got a job on a Star Wars show at Disney, I would get rid of all my social media accounts right away. Free speech is one thing, but free speech when you're part of a huge conglomerate or corporation, I'm okay with it. You're giving me a Star Wars credit. I don't need to speak my opinion in public, like on Facebook or whatever.
Right, right.
TJ, are you currently deleting all of your tweets from the last
never,
10 years?
Never.
What are you doing
I
right
would
now?
I never do that. I find that stuff so gross. This idea that people on the internet can go, you need to fire this person. Like,
it's disgusting.
Unless you do something criminal, I really can't stand for the idea of asking for someone's job, no matter how much I disagree with them. I think that's so, ugh, there's something about it that irks me.
So you don't agree with the firing of Gina Carano?
No. Even though I disagree with her views, I don't agree with the firing of her. Because,
by the way, I don't agree either. But I'm just saying, if they need to replace her, I would.
I mean, here's the thing, though.
They could have fired her for being a bad actor. She sucks at acting. Right. But they didn't even fire her for that.
Like, have you guys watched The Mandalorian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so you've actually seen her in The Mandalorian. Yes. I've only seen, like, a clip, so I can't judge.
She's actually not terrible in The Mandalorian. She's fine. She serves the role. I mean, there's people. I mean, the guy who plays the Mandalorian is an amazing actor. You don't even see his face.
Yes.
He does amazing work.
Okay. So I think part of the thing is Disney is a family kind of family friendly operation, right? Their entire brand is nothing to do with all of this other
stuff. But the irony of all this is Walt Disney, known anti-Semite.
Yes.
Huge.
Would have loved her. Would have loved her.
He would have loved her.
They would have been best friends. Are you kidding me? It was big.
But I think, you know, and I speak as a Jew, I think the Jews have taken over the asylum at Disney. I think there are a lot of Jewish people up top, but I don't think that's why she was fired. I think it's always about Disney's brand.
Let me read the post that really precipitated this. I mean, apparently she's had posts over the last several months that people didn't agree with. She was weird about masks. You know what I mean?
Yes.
She changed the, instead of having the pronoun thing on
she
her
boop, beep,
handle,
bop.
She put beep, boop, bop, boop, you know.
Which was kind of funny.
Which I have to, I was like, oh, that's kind of like a solid joke. If it wasn't backed by like other transphobic comment, what I mean? And I agree. So, and this is what she wrote. She wrote, Jews were beaten in the streets and by Nazi soldiers, but by their neighbors, even by children. Because history is edited, most people today don't realize that they get to the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews. The government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews. How is that any different from hating someone for their political views?
To be fair to her, she did not write that. She reposted someone's post about that.
It was also weirdly poorly written. Like, I feel like I had to read it a couple of times to understand what the fuck was being said.
Very poor punctuations in there.
Yeah. Like, what? Is that the beginning of the sentence? Or where is it happening? I mean, she also said some weird stuff about Jeffrey Epstein. She also promoted the misinformation about voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
She made herself a known kind of right-wing person. And I guess I wonder if like 20 years ago, we would have known this much about what some fucking actor thinks.
I don't want to know anymore. I just want everyone to remember, we just see like their profiles on E. And I'd be like, oh, okay, The Rock grew up there. Cool.
Right.
Like, I don't want to know what they're thinking all the time.
I think that it's hard to maintain your like world of opinions within some sort of acceptable parameter. It would have been hard 20 years ago. It would have been hard 30 years ago. And it's weird because we want to be able to lose ourselves in what an actor can portray.
Yes.
And I think you make it harder. And I'm a fucking actor.
Yeah.
Who spouts off every week like some asshole about what I think.
But you a comedian,
and I'm not which is different.
We traffic in opinions. That's sort of our job. We get to do that more so than actors.
Right.
So like actors should probably learn to just shut the fuck up or become a comedian where you can just say whatever you want.
I would be very surprised if the contract she signed with Disney did not include some addendums about you cannot do this, that, the other. You know what I mean? So I don't believe in cancel culture. I'll never get on a bandwagon to cancel a comedian or an actor. I just don't do that. I don't get the I just don't. I don't. I wouldn't want it done to me. I don't do it to other people. However, if you're signing something with a corporation like Disney, which is Evil Corp, basically, they are.
Yes.
Then you have to hold to that contract.
And by the way, as Vicky says that, I'm also like, feel free to give me any job.
Exactly. Same. I feel like I could apply for that role. You know, I have the brown hair. I'm tough. I'm Russian.
You would fit right in.
But yeah, I mean, you sign it. You sign a contract. Both sides have to fulfill it. Like we get really pissed if the corporation doesn't pay us what they say.
That's right.
We got to pay the corporation what we say we're going to pay.
That's right.
And that's the thing. I mean, that's what, and the corporation can't say that.
If you decide to sell out, then you got to sell out. Yeah. That's just what you do. Also, right. I don't mean to cut you off. There's a quick parallel between her case and Letitia Wright. Do you guys remember her when she was trending for a couple of days on Twitter?
No. Who is that? What are you talking
about? Letitia Wright, she plays Shuri in Black Panther. She's a black British actress.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I would say that's probably the second most important role in that movie. She was the scientist, the girl.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And why was she trending?
Because she was tweeting stuff about COVID being a hoax and the vaccine. She was an anti-vaxxer. She was very much against the vaccine.
Oh, got you.
Yeah, so a lot of people were trying to get her fired. She basically just deleted her social media, and I don't think she got fired, though. So she got lucky. And I think
she shouldn't get fired from Black Panther for that, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad she didn't get fired.
Yeah.
But it was kind of stupid to, like, as an actor to be like, hey, the vaccines don't work. They're trying to turn us into robots. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
I think the closest analogy to what the actors might be experiencing today in terms of, like, if you sign a Disney contract, you know, again, we're talking out of our elbows here. We don't know what it says in the Disney contract, but I imagine that you can't represent the company in a poor light. I think the closest analogy is, like, to the studio system in the 40s and 50s, where actors kind of had to have a particular image, right? And they had to be the whole person was sort of bought up by the studio, and the imagery of that person and the kind of thing that that person evoked, whether they're like some hot lady or some mom lady or a hot, you know, a sweetheart dude or whatever, like that was a carefully crafted studio image.
That's right. Yep.
And you had to like follow what the studio wanted you to do, and that was like basically part of your contract, you know. So I think there is precedent for this in our history. It's just that nowadays there's too many forums where you can provide your opinion, you know what
too
I mean?
Many and too many, many forums where, say, it's like 13 people on Twitter saying cancel Gina. I mean, that could have been enough for Disney. Like, it's so sad how much power these trolls have.
Yes.
Right.
But also, a part of me is annoyed at the corporations for giving into that. Just grow a backbone and be like, I stand by my employee. I don't have to fire them because 13 idiots in Boise, Idaho think I should fire them.
Right.
Do you think those 13 idiots would be motivated by a statement from Disney that's like, we don't agree with her political opinions? We don't agree. We don't promote the political opinions of any of our actors.
Right.
We only judge them for their skill on set and for whether or not they do their job on set, show up on time, memorize the words, do the job.
That would be great. That would be amazing. I don't think those people
I don't know why they're not doing that, because they're huge. People are not I'm pretty certain people are not going to like cancel their Disney Plus subscriptions because they kept on Gina Carano.
But
the trolls are bullies, and they're not going to care about that because they just want to cause other people pain. So they're going to move on to the next person. They're not going to care.
And I can imagine, you know, a listener right now listening to our conversation and being like, but guys, she said some heinous things.
She did. She did say heinous things. So I don't follow her. I don't agree with her. And
would you stop watching The Mandalorian, for example, if she was still on?
No,
it?
Like, would it, I would not. Yeah. And I still listen to Michael Jackson, but we can talk about that another time. I wouldn't. And I still go look at art, Florentine art. And I'm telling you, those painters raped. Those painters raped and killed. Like, I don't know where we're going to draw the line where we can't enjoy art anymore, because we have to worry about what each actor has done in their lives.
Right. You got to be perfect to make art.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
So in terms of like my desire for there to be entertainment for the right that isn't like inherently like political or agitating, this is a post that she wrote recently about her new job. She wrote, "I cried out and my prayer was answered. I'm sending out a direct message of hope to everyone living in fear of cancellation by the totalitarian mob. I have only just begun using my voice, which is now freer than ever before, and I hope it inspires others to do the same. They can't cancel us if we don't let them." Oh, sorry. The part where she talks about basically she was offered a gig making a new movie, and it's going to be funded by a prominent person on the right. I forget his name.
Ben Shapiro. The Daily
Ben Shapiro.
Wire.
There it is. Ben Shapiro, who we were just talking about. Ben Shapiro is going to fund a film. She's going to,
apparently they said it's going to be a movie for conservatives by conservatives. I don't even know what the fuck that means.
So that's going to be political, though. That's not going to be, Dagin, I'm telling you now,
that's
don't
not
watch
gonna be
it.
Like, what I want is. What I want is for Gina Carano to be like, and I'm making a movie only about farts, right? And it's like, that's what I want to see.
Nagin,
from the
I have
right.
a perfect entertainer for you. Go see Jeff Dunham. He does puppets. That's really the only thing you can get.
That's right.
People can stand it when, like, you guys remember Jim Gaffigan got into a bunch of trouble for finally being political. He was very vocal against Trump, and then a lot of his friends were like, "Hey man, we just like you to tell jokes about food. We don't need to know who you're voting for." And that was the first time in his career he took a stance.
That was like, again, that's the comedian thing of like, no. The way this works with comedians is that they talk. That's their whole thing, is they give you opinions about what they're eating and who they're voting for.
Like, yeah.
Those mainly, the two main things.
But not all. And I would say Jim Gaffigan, one of the most successful comedians of all time, as well as, what's his name, Jeff Foxworthy and Brian Regan, they're not political.
Or Jerry Seinfeld. Right. A lot of those guys, they just drive in the lane of observational humor with no real opinions behind it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so this is interesting. Folks, let me know where you stand on this. Do you think Gina Carano should have been fired? Can I just say one last thing is that the more I talk to people about these situations where people get fired, the more people tell me that they don't think people should get fired and that they're constantly worried for themselves that they're going to get fired. And I'm talking about friends from every business, like people in HR, people who work as stylists, you know, and everyone's afraid of getting fired. They don't think that this should be a thing. And yet it's consistently a thing. So I do think that it is those 13 people that keep motivating these, that the mob, the totalitarian mob that Gina Carano is talking about is really just, you know, people that are good at using, at popularizing hashtags.
Go ahead. You first.
Well, no, I was just going to say, as much as I said, she made a deal with Disney and I'm sure there was something. Overall, I don't think people should get fired. And I really feel like I should include a caveat that if she had tweeted harassment at Disney or anything else, I would be 100%. That's like, do it. Like, to me, you should be calling that stuff out. People are afraid to do that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I was going to say, I think also it's important for the companies to have a backbone and stand up and be brave, which is why I'm a huge fan of Trader Joe's, because last year some twat tried to cancel them because they do this fun thing where sometimes they'll have a pizza and they'll call it another name that would be the equivalent of Joe's in a different language. So they would do Trader Giotto's, or they would do Trader Jose or Trader Ming. And then some guy was like, "This is racist.
That's ridiculous.
Boycott Trader Joe's." And Trader Joe's was like, "You know what? That's our sense of humor. We don't think it's racist. We just do that. So if you don't want to shop at our place, don't do it. But we're going to keep doing it." And I thought that was great.
TJ, what country are you from?
I'm from Haiti.
Do you feel like this American sensitivity, like, what would the average Haitian think about this kind of American sensitivity?
We think it's pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I think it's a problem of comfort. Yeah. It really is. When your life is so good that you don't have real problems, you make up bullshit problems to be upset
there
about.
There it is. And I felt it. Yeah. Okay. Oh, what a wonderful. Yeah. So, folks, hit me up with what you think about all of this. And are we just do we just have too much comfort?
We do. I do think we do. Yeah.
That's a really excellent point. OK, this is the end of the show. And I just want to remind people. We talked about last week. I asked the people what the panelists what they would give up for Lent. None of us were Catholic. But what would you give up if you had to give something up for Lent? And I got on social media, I got so many interesting things that people were giving up. Non-Catholics and Catholics alike. Some people were giving up judgment, being judgment of others, but then also being judgmental of themselves. Some people are giving up road rage. I thought that was a fun one because every time I'm in Southern California driving around, I get the little urge to get angry. Is there something that either of you would give up for Lent if, in fact, you were going to celebrate that holiday?
I guess if I was, I might give up whiskey for a month just because I've been drinking too much during the pandemic.
Too much whiskey specifically. Yeah. Yeah.
I would try Vicky. Maybe gossiping.
You know, I've talked about this before. There's this wonderful, wonderful episode of Freakonomics about gossiping, and apparently it actually is awesome for you.
Oh, okay, great.
You don't need to give it up. There's something about it that makes you feel part of the community, whatever. I actually have to brush up on that episode before I reference it like I remember. But I remember being like, oh, wow, I didn't realize gossip. It's great for you.
Okay, then I'd like to announce I'm going to live till 120.
That's half of what folks, it is to be a comedian. Just comedy gossip.
That's true.
So thanks for sending me all of what you would give up for Lent, what you've been giving up for Lent. Don't forget that there's a conversation about framing Britney Spears between me and the wonderful Kendra Cunningham that you can see on my Instagram feed. But what I would really love is for the people of Faith the Nation to follow both of you and what you do. Vicky Cooper, and Vicky Cooperman. I really tongue-tied myself there. Where do you want them to follow you?
Let's just go to Instagram with pictures. No toxic Twitter, okay? Instagram with pictures. Vicky Cooperman, K-U-P-E-R-M-A-N.
And don't forget the album. What's it called?
Love's a Joke, all wherever albums are sold.
Love's a Joke. Definitely download that album immediately. TJ, where do people find you?
You know, I'm going to follow Vicky here and say, because Twitter's the king of toxicity. No Twitter. We're not doing that.
Nope.
Real easy, real simple. Find me on Instagram at TJ Standup. And my special is called January 3rd and it's streaming on Amazon Prime. Follow me at TJ Standup on Instagram.
Don't forget, the special, I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
Let's see, what I would really love to do though is thank all the people here at Faith the Nation that make the show possible. That's our wonderful producer, Anita Flores, our talented audio engineer, Andy Christens, Gabby Alter wrote our theme music, and Lily Fleshler helps with research and listeners. You know, we'd love to hear from you. So send us your feedback, topics we should be chatting about, or guest ideas you might have. You can leave us a voicemail at 331-901-0005 or drop us a line at comments@fakethenation.com. And if you like what you hear, please favorite Fake the Nation on Stitcher. Follow us on Spotify. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Pandora, and the SiriusXM app. And do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts because it helps people find out about the show. We'll be back in your earballs next week.